Of course, those of you that have that know the Bible, that have read the Bible any at all, or have had Bible stories told to you when you were younger, know the chapter from 1 Samuel that Brother Chuck read from this morning is that a very famous chapter. It tells the story of David and Goliath. And he finished up about halfway through the story when David was getting ready to go fight Goliath, and he was getting a little trouble from his older brother. He said, what have you done with the few sheep that you watch? I know what you've done. You just want to come down and see the battle. You don't be making a fuss. Don't get yourself into something that you can't handle. You're just a little boy. You're just a shepherd. And when David heard that, he says, what have I done? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause that will get somebody off the sidelines and into the fight? Is there not a cause that will cause us to overcome our fears? Is there not a cause that's worth putting your life on the line and dying for if need be? Is there not a cause that's more important than what your family or your friends or even the king may say? Is there not a cause? See, David was not a war veteran. He was just a little young man. He had not fought before in a battle. He had kept sheep. He didn't have a spear or a sword or a shield. All he had was a sling. And he had never fought against another person. He'd fought bears and he'd fought lions as he watched the sheep, but he'd never stood eye to eye, especially with somebody as tall as Goliath. It was a rhetorical question because the answer was a resounding yes. David answered it himself. He said, yes, there is a cause. There's a cause a cause so important that will make a young shepherd boy take his sling and go out and face a giant that's 9 feet 9 inches tall. A giant that has a coat of armor that weighs 156 pounds, that has a spear or a point on the end of his spear that weighs almost 19 pounds. Something so important that it didn't matter what his older brothers said. Something so important that it didn't matter what the king said. Something so important that it didn't matter what the odds were. I mean, David was a little short shepherd boy. He was going up against a champion of the Philistines, a giant by the name of Goliath, but he had a cause, something that was so important that turned a bystander into our participant. Something so important that caused a little shepherd boy to walk out on the field of battle that day with holy boldness and holy courage. Now he tells us, David does, later on in that chapter, what the cause is. And I want to read some more. If you still have your Bibles open to 1 Samuel chapter 17, you can follow along. I'm going to read verses 44 through 47. Here's what it says. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beast of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. And I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beast of the earth. Now listen, he's getting here to the cause. That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. David says, hey, you want to know what my cause is? You want to know what the cause is that drives me to face this giant? Let me tell you. It's a cause that says that all the earth shall know that there is a God. What David says is every single person, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, of every tribe, of every nation, needs to know that there is a God. The Bible starts out assuming that fact. You ever stop to think? The Bible doesn't spend any time proving there is a God. In Genesis chapter 1:1, that's the new memory verse in the bulletin this morning. Genesis 1:1, the Bible says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Doesn't spend any time trying to prove the existence of God. Doesn't go back into eternity and shows where God started. God didn't have a start. He's always been. And the Bible starts out with the fact that there is a God. And David says, that's my cause, that the whole earth will know that there is a God. In Romans chapter 1, the Bible tells us that even the things we see about us, nature, the sun, the moon, the stars, and the plants and the animals, those things point out to us that there is a God. It says there in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead." Look, there are things that of God that we cannot see. That's what that verse is talking about. You cannot see God this morning, but you can look around and see the things that He made and know that there is a God. I feel sorry for these people that say, hey, everything we see is around us just started with a big bang. All of a sudden, there was just a big explosion. Boom! And everything came into existence. Not on your life. Not on your life. There is a God that in 6 days, six 24-hour days, made everything that we see about us. And all we have to do is go out, look up at the sun. Look up at the moon. Look up at the stars. Look up at the clouds in the sky. Look at the flowers. Look at the trees. Look at the vegetables. Look at the snow. Look at anything you want to look at in nature. And nature says to us, just like the Bible does, there is a God. And David says, that's my cause. Hey, Goliath, that's why I'm out here. All the earth needs to know that there is a God. Bible says that even Satan and the demons of hell know there is a God. There's a God. And David said, that's my cause. But I hasten to point out, that's only half of it. That's the first half of it. That all the earth may know that there is a God. There's a second half that's just as sweet. In fact, in my mind this morning, a little bit sweeter than the first half. Not only that there is a God, he says in verse 47, "And all this assembly shall know that the battle is the Lord's." The battle is the Lord's. Hey, Goliath, you see me out here on the battlefield. I'm just a little runt, I know that. And you've made fun of me. You said, hey, come on, little boy, and I'll feed your flesh to the birds of the sky. You haven't got a chance against me. You're right, Goliath. I'm just a little boy. I don't have a sword. I don't have a shield. All I've got is my little sling. But I want you to know something. This is not my battle. This is God's battle. He may use me as an instrument. He may use my arm. He may use my eye. He may use my sling. But it's God that holds this battle. Because this is not my battle. This is God's battle. And David says, that's why I'm here. That's why I face you today. That's why I come out here with no experience fighting in a war or in a battle. I want the earth to know that there is a God and the battle is His. Not mine, not yours, but His. It's his. And the theme, the cause that David had that day is the same cause that every Christian needs to have in the year 2005. We need to have the cause that says there is a God and the battle is his, not ours. I want to make three statements this morning to make that truth. Number one, there is a God and the battle with sin is not ours, but God's. There is a God, and the battle that we fight with sin is not ours, but it's God's. You see, we're all sinners. We got that tendency from our parents, but we became sinners when we made the choice. The first time you came to a situation in your life, and I don't know how old you were, it's probably a different age for different people, different situations for different people. But the first time in your life when you came to a situation and you knew that there was a right way to go and a wrong way to go, and you chose the wrong way to go, you became a sinner in the eyes of God. And it doesn't matter what the decision was about. It doesn't matter what the situation was. You chose wrong. And the Bible says in the book of James, for whosoever shall keep the law and keep the law in every point, but offend in one, he is guilty of all. And so maybe the first sin that you committed was a little lie that you told your mom and dad. Maybe the first sin that you committed was stealing somebody's apple at lunchtime. Maybe the first sin that you ever committed was just having a bad attitude about mom or about dad when they corrected you about something. I don't know what it was. It doesn't make any difference what it was. The Bible says that first time that we chose wrong, that first time that we made a conscious decision to do something that we knew was not right, we became a sinner in the eyes of God and stood before God just as guilty as the worst sinner that this world has ever known. We're sinner. And from the beginning, it has been man's idea that this battle with sin is ours. That's why in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve sewed fig leaves together to cover up their nakedness. That's why down through the ages, people of different nationalities have devised all sorts of systems of penance. Systems where they could try to pay God back for their sin. Systems where they could try to make their sin right with God. That's why today people say, well, if I can live a good life, if I can be a moral person, if I could go to church, if I could get baptized, if I could take communion, if I could live by the golden rule, I'll be okay. This battle with sin is mine, and I can beat it. I'll turn over a new leaf. I'll do everything right. I won't ever make a mistake again. And I'll take care of sin myself. And what the world needs to know today, what every single person in this room needs to know today, that the battle with sin is not ours. It's God's. It's God's. That's why he tells us in the book of Isaiah, all of your righteousnesses, everything that you can do that you consider right, he said, in my sight are as filthy rags. That's why he said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, God's already fought the battle with sin. He fought it on the old rugged cross. He fought it on Calvary. As we talked about in our Sunday school lesson this morning, he sent the perfect sacrifice. He sent his only begotten Son to die on Calvary's cross in my place and your place. And when Jesus hung on that cross, and again, Brother Leonard mentioned it in Sunday school this morning, as I'm sure Brother John did, when Jesus hung on that cross and he cried out, it is finished. It's finished. It's done. The battle's over. I've defeated sin. And all you have to do is claim the victory. All you have to do is come and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You see, I'll tell you what, you and I are no match for sin. We're no match for sin. If it was left up to us to pay for the price of our sin, you know what we'd have to do? We'd have to die and go to hell and live there forever. That's the price of sin. The wages of sin is death. Not only physical death, but spiritual death, to be separated from God forever in that place that He's prepared for Satan and all his demons, that place called hell. And the only way that we could pay for our sins is to die and go there ourselves. But we don't have to fight the battle. Jesus fought it for us on Calvary. He dipped His soul into our very hell. He suffered the price of our sins. He fought sin, and He won, and He beat it. And this morning He offers to every single person righteousness. Righteousness. The righteousness of God that He'll put on every single person's record. I don't care what you've done this morning. I don't care if the only sin that you've committed in your whole life is told that one little lie. And there's no little lies, but you know what I'm talking about. I don't care if the only sin that you've ever committed is to tell that one little lie. Or if you're a murderer, an adulterer, and a thief. I don't care. The blood of Jesus covers it all. Covers it all. Covers it all. He fought the battle for us. The battle's not ours. It's His. And He won it. All we have to do is claim the victory. All we have to do is ask Jesus to be our Savior. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You don't have to die and go to hell. You don't have to pay for your own sins. Jesus paid them. Paid it all. Paid for your sins. Paid for my sins. Second statement. There is a God, and the battle with this world is not ours, but God's. I flew into Detroit about 4:30 Friday afternoon from Mississippi. And my mom and dad only live a few miles from the airport, so I made arrangements to go over and eat dinner with them Friday night. I always like to go home and eat dinner. And they saved their Irish dinner. We had corned beef and cabbage and cornbread. It was good. And my dad and I were sitting around after dinner, and we were watching the news, and they had two or three stories of just terrible things that were going on in the world. And my dad looked over and he said, boy, there's not much worth saving in this old world, is there? Not much worth saving. You know what? There's a lot of things in this world I'd like to fight with. I'd like to fight the abortionist. I'd like to fight those doctors that murder little babies. I'd like to fight the homosexuality movement. I'd like to fight them and make them understand that it's not a lifestyle, it's an abomination in the eyes of God. I'd like to fight the child abusers. If you want to see me lose my Christianity, you just let me run into somebody that abuses children. And I want to just take the law into my own hands. I want to fight drunk drivers. I want to fight people that get drunk and get behind of a wheel and kill other people and get their license back and do it again. I want to fight atheists that are trying to take God out of everything in this country, trying to take In God We Trust off our money. And we've already taken God out of schools, and they want to take Him out of courts and everything else. I'd like to claim that verse in 1 John that says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world, and say to the abortionists, and say to the homosexuals, and say to the atheists, come on, put them up. I'm going to knock the snot out of you. I'd like to claim that verse in the Gospels where Peter confessed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, Peter, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And upon this faith, upon this rock, this faith, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'd like to say to all those people that I mentioned, come on, put up your dukes. I just want to knock your block off. But you know something? The battle with this world's not mine. It's God's. It's God's. I think we ought to vote for people that share our values. I think we ought to cry out against injustice. I think we ought to call sin, sin, and not an alternative lifestyle or a woman's choice. But the battle's not mine. It's God's. You know what God says we need to do to fight the battles of this world? Stay close to Him. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." You know what I can do to save America? You know what you can do to save America? And don't take me wrong. I'm for being politically active. I'm for voting for, again, like I said, for candidates that share the same values that we have. But you know what the greatest thing that you and I can do to save our country and to fight this world is? Is stay close to God. Is stay close to Him. Seek His face. Turn from our sin. Live as righteous as we can. And pray. This battle with the world is not ours. It's God. And then number three, there is a God. And the battle with death is not ours, but God's. You see, down through the ages, man has battled death. We fought death because we didn't want to die. You read the stories of the Fountain of Youth. People searching all over the world for that thing that would keep them eternally young. You read the stories of the magic elixirs that people would bring into town and sell and tell you that would, they would heal any cure. And even today, there's new medicines and new procedures and new technologies. And I'm glad. I'm glad when we live in a day that they can go in and open up blockages to your heart. I'm glad there's a day where they can use radiation and chemotherapy to fight cancer. I thank God that we live in a day when we can take advantage of all those things. But I want to remind you this morning that this battle that we fight with death is not ours, but it's God's. It's God's. And I want to tell you something. He's already won. He's already won. In Psalm 23, that famous psalm that most of you could quote if I gave you the opportunity, there's a verse that says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." I used this verse in the funeral I had a week ago Saturday, and I said, that's what we're in. And you know, every time you go to a funeral home, every time you go to a funeral service for a Christian, that's what you're in. You're in a valley of the shadow of death. It looks like death. I mean, there's a body. There's a casket. You're in a funeral home. There's an undertaker. There's a funeral service. But it just looks like death. It's not really death. It's a shadow of death. It looks like death, but it's not really death. For the Christian, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And it's not death. It's going into a different stage of life that's more life than anything that we know yet. That's why in 1 Corinthians the Bible says, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." You want that victory this morning? You can have it. But you can only get it by coming to Jesus Christ. You won't get it by being good. And I'm all for being good. But you won't get that victory by being good. You won't get it by coming to church. I'm all for coming to church. But you won't get it by coming to church. When Jesus said He was the way, the truth, and the life, He didn't mean Him and something else. He meant Him alone. Him alone. Him alone. The battle is the Lord's. The battle over sin, He's already fought and won. Christ did that on Calvary. The battle with this world, I want to tell you, it looks like the world may be winning now, but I've read the last chapter of the book, and the world's going to lose. The battle with death, it may look like we lose every time we go to a funeral home, but we haven't lost. That's a sign of victory. It's a sign of victory. And the only way that you can get what I'm talking about this morning is by coming to Jesus Christ and receiving Him as your Savior. If you're here this morning and you've never asked Christ to be your Savior, this may be your first time here. You may have been here 100 times. It doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit is dealing with you right now. Holy Spirit's saying, hey, what the preacher's talking about is right. You're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin. Jesus Christ paid the penalty. All you have to do is receive it. And if you're here this morning and the Holy Spirit's speaking to you about that, in just a moment, I'm going to invite you to come. Just step out, walk down the aisle, and come. I'll meet you down here at the front. I'll take the Bible and show you from the Bible, or else I'll have somebody take the Bible and show you from the Bible what it is to ask Jesus to be your Savior. And then I say to every Christian here this morning, let's get off the sidelines. I don't want to be like all those Hebrews that were going to hide in the holes in the caves when this big old giant came out and defiled the armies of God. Let's get off the sidelines. It's not our battle. It's God's battle. And the world needs to know that there is a God and that He will fight the battle for us. He may want to use us. We may be His slingshot. We may be His sword. We may be His soldier. But He's the one that does fights. And He's the one that wins. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for the simple truth that's in this book. Thank You that we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we can have the victory over sin because of what Jesus did for us on Calvary. The old rugged cross really does make a difference. It's the only thing that can make a difference between life and death. It's the only thing that can make a difference between heaven and hell. It's the only thing that can make a difference between whether we spend eternity apart from You or eternity together with You. And I pray for every person that's here this morning that's never received Jesus as their Savior. I pray this morning would be the morning. Right now, this moment would be the moment that they make that decision to ask Jesus to be their Savior. I pray for Christians that are here. Help us to realize, Father, that the sidelines are no place to be, that we have a cause. It's a cause that makes a bystander a participant, a cause that takes somebody that the odds may be against, but goes up against the giants of this world and wins, because it's not our fight, it's Your fight. And so I pray for Christians. I pray, Father, that You call us into action. I pray that You'd make Your will clear to us and we'd be obedient to that will. If there's somebody here that needs to get baptized, I pray, Holy Spirit, You'd talk to them this morning. Somebody here that needs to join the church, I pray You'll speak to them. And I pray, Holy Spirit, as You speak, we'll listen and we'll be obedient. Bless the invitation, Father. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.